Amen. Quite a time we had with Mr. Goodhart this morning. Some different things that we did. And all talking about love this morning. So take your Bibles and turn to the book of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. Heavenly Father, I pray for my blessed preaching of your word again this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can find out what real love is. Help us to express that and live that at home and wherever we are. Bless in the preaching this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 12 says, "And Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and appointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare that which was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead." Quite a story. Right in the middle of John, after Jesus had raised the brother of Martha and Mary, they were meeting and they were having supper. And right before they ate, along comes Mary. She used perfume that gave off a wonderful odor. But you notice that these 8 verses that we read, what does it say about the ointment? What does it say there in verse 3? Was the ointment costly? Now, every one of you are wrong. The Bible says very costly. Every word of God is pure, therefore every word is important. We're talking about something that costs a lot of money. You can show your love by the gifts that you might give. Mrs. Drake, alias This is Goodhart. Is my wife. In Proverbs 19:14 it says a prudent wife is from the Lord. It's good to have a good wife. Because there are plenty of battles. Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And obtaineth favor of the Lord. It's good to have love as a driving force within a marriage. A lot of people have a wrong idea about love. A lot of people think that love is lust. And that love is just an emotion. It's dangerous if you do not have the right definition of what real love is. Usually on Valentine's Day or the Sunday before, husbands will give their wives some flowers to express their love. And that's about all flowers do. They have no practical value at all. You can't eat them. They're not durable. They wither and die. They're just there to say, I love you. That's what they're good for. God made it that way. And if you love Jesus like you're supposed to, you'll need to pay the price for it. When we grow to the place where we will give anything to show our love to Jesus, we'll experience revival. Because love is very costly. Real love is very costly. We see how much this ointment, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. She wanted to show her love toward her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see quickly this morning three things in the way that Mary expressed her love toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It might help us. It says there in verse 2, there they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. There were people there. It says in verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Her first method of showing love was doing it publicly. She did it right in front of everybody. She didn't care what anybody thought, even though there were much people there, besides Martha and Lazarus. In other words, she wasn't ashamed that she loved Jesus. That's the way we should love Jesus as well. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Do you talk about your love for Jesus in your life? We can learn some lessons from Mary this morning. We say we love Jesus with our mouth, but our actions are way off base, aren't they? She didn't say a word, but she did it publicly. You know, when you make it public that you love Jesus, that means your family will know that you love Jesus. It's not hidden. Your love isn't hidden from others that you love Jesus. And if you do your love like Mary did, it may cost you some relatives. Real love for Jesus will cost you something. Real love isn't an emotion, as I've said many times. Real love is sacrifice. It'll cost you. Not too many Christians are willing to pay the price. Now, I've been saved 56 years. When I got home from the Air Force from Germany, it was 1967. And the next year, 1968, is when I got saved. When I put my full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next day, I was in church. Why? Because I loved Jesus. I realized what he had done for me. Well, let me correct that. I don't think I'll ever realize how much he loved me and what he's done for me. But the next year, in 1969, I got a phone call. Let me back up. The 4 years I was in Germany, I had a best friend. I was unsaved. Wild, became a drunk. So he and I, Steve Storrs was his name, we were buddies and we would get in all kinds of trouble. We had the military police after us and everything else going on. It was crazy. We had gotten drunk and passed out together many times. Not glorifying any sin, but showing you how close Steve and I were. After we were discharged, he went his way and I went mine, and we lost touch. Didn't know where each other were anyway, but of course I was married and had my first child, Deanna, and all of that. All of a sudden I got a phone call in 1969. Year after I got saved. And sure enough, it was Steve. And Steve, boy, he wanted to get together and talk about old times and everything and go down to the bar and have a good time, because that's where we always were. And that went on for a few minutes. I said, Steve, won't be able to do that. I found the answer to life. I found the answer to eternity. I found Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of my life, and I love him more than anything else. Well, he tried to skate around that and everything, and, well, just a little, martini or something won't hurt, and all of this, you know, you don't have to drink like we used to. And I said, no, I love Jesus. My life has changed. But you're welcome to come over and we can have some pop or tea or whatever you want to drink. It's non-alcoholic over here at our house and everything. And all I heard was click. You didn't want anything to do with that, even as close as we were. I wanted to show my love publicly, like she did. It was important to me to let everybody know about Jesus. Keep your place here in John 12 and go to Romans chapter 1, if you would, please. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, in verse 15, Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Mary wasn't ashamed of Jesus, even though there were many present. She kneeled down in that house and took that spikenard, which was very costly, and broke it upon his head, on his feet. And she worshiped him openly, publicly, in front of relatives. But there's a third or a second thing. Look there in our text in John 12. Look at verse 3. It says there that she took a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. She showed her love by being personal. Jesus isn't an it or a thing. He has to be personal to you. If your salvation isn't personal, your love for him will not be personal. Hers was personal. That's pretty personal. You know, she wiped it with her hair. Hair and feet. Yeah, she got close to Jesus. She wanted to be close to Jesus. Now, I've been a student of the opposite sex for 58 years, married to Mrs. Drake. Now, I'm not a scholar on her or any other woman, but I know one thing that's personal to a woman is her hair. Hair is important. I had two girls as well. Sometimes, especially early in their marriage, she'd get all fixed up and everything. She'd come up to me, you know, and say, "Does my hair look okay?" Sure. I mean, what else am I going to say? Okay. I wanted to live, and she She said, "You're not even looking at my hair." I said, "But it looks okay." She says, "I'm going to get my hair done, get a perm." Now, if that isn't the craziest thing I've ever heard of, they call it a permanent, but it's not. You got to do it over and over again. Hair is a funny thingy, even on men. You see, if you're bald in the front of your hair, of your head, you're a lover. If you're bald in the back of your hair, in the back of your head, you're a thinker. If you're bald in the front and the back of your head, you just think you're a lover. Mary got close to Jesus. She used her hair. By the way, the Bible tells you there in 1 Corinthians 11 that long hair is a glory to the woman. Short hair was not for men. It was a shame unto a man to have long hair. I kind of get sick of going to Walmart and seeing all these men, males, I'll call them anyway, not much of a man, with all of the long hair and everything. Anyway, she had to have long hair to be able to get it around to even wash his feet. You notice when she did, that she didn't use a rag to wash his feet. She didn't use a towel to wash his feet. She didn't use the hem of any garment to wash his feet. She used the most important thing to a woman, her hair. If you're going to love Jesus like you should, it's going to cost you something. Maybe something dearer to you. She was willing to do anything to bring comfort to Jesus, to bring encouragement to Jesus. She was willing to pay the price without any thought of what she looked like after she was done washing his feet with her hair. How many times do we say we love Jesus, but we're too worried about things in our own life and what do people think and on and on. Mary was always at Jesus' feet. She's here, but then keep your place and go to Luke chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 10. In verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Amen. Go to John chapter 11. Just the chapter before our text. John chapter 11, verse 28. "And when she had said, She went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, "The Master has come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him, and the Jews then that were with her in the house and comforted her. This is when Lazarus died, by the way. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, and saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come to Jesus, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Look at verse 45 also. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Mary and her falling at Jesus' feet was the best example of her love. She was always humble. Doing what she did, it speaks of her affection for him. It speaks of her humility. It speaks of her extravagance in using spikenard, which was very costly. In our text to John 12, look at verse 5. Here's good old Judas Iscariot, and he says, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Of course, we know that he didn't care about that at all. But just to show you, he said that that spikenard was worth 300 pence. Now, a penny back in Jesus' day was a whole day's wage. Days in a year, but of course they didn't work on the Sabbath. So here it was, over a year's salary for that. What do people make these days? I don't know, 50,000, something like that, as an average? I don't know. Well, whatever that it, can you imagine spending $50,000 for some ointments or some perfume and then using it on Jesus' feet? Go to Proverbs chapter 30, if you would, please. Look at Proverbs chapter 30. Chapter 30, verse 8. Solomon, of course, wrote most of Proverbs. And he said, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Gotta watch out about money. Mary had the right idea. A whole year's wage in one afternoon. And she used it on Jesus. The love that was shown stunned the crowd. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And she loved and she gave. Cold-hearted people will never understand the love that I'm preaching this morning. You understand that the odor made by that perfume, it spills all over everybody else. Went all the way through the home. Amen. The love of Jesus needs to be all through your home. We need to change some things in our lives to love Jesus like we should. Stop making excuses. That odor reached everybody. It blessed everybody. And when you love Jesus, it will be a blessing to everybody to see how much you love Jesus. It'll reach them. You go through love. You go through life. Be sure you love people. There is plenty of unlovely people in this world. Jesus even went so far as to love your enemies. Love Jesus more than any. If we had a visitor, a girl coming in the door, she's got bright orange hair, she's got tattoos all over, she's got a lot of metal in her face. Just looking at her, she's screaming out, "Someone tell me of Jesus." She's saying, "Something's wrong with me. I don't feel right. I don't feel good. I don't feel good about myself. Someone notice me. Someone care for me." What's your reaction if we had a visitor like that? Would you be like some cold-hearted people and see that and turn away and kind of moved off to the side and so forth, you know, and give her a terrible look? Or would you love the unlovely? Would you see through the facade that she wears every day? She doesn't know what's right and wrong. And she doesn't know real life and real love. You know, when we give, it shouldn't be in response to a command to give. We need to give willingly. We need to give from our heart. And when you give, you understand you're making an investment. Because in the future, when Jesus comes back again, you're going to be getting more than ever you have ever put in any offering plate or anything else. Yeah, I want to invest in Jesus. I want to show my love to Jesus. I want to take the first tenth of anything that I have from any work and give it to him without anything else. Give over and above. Life is strange. People are strange. I heard the story many, many years ago about a young boy in Houston who had a rare disease that only one physician was able to meet. The boy was taken to the hospital and began to deteriorate and fail. The nurse picked up the phone and called the doctor. The doctor jumped in his car, and when he started to jump in the car to go to the hospital, a man came up to the door of the window and put a pistol at his head and said, "Get out of the car." The doctor said, "You don't understand. I've got to get to the hospital. I'm a doctor." The man said, "Get out of the car." The doctor got out of the car. The man got in the car and sped off. It took the doctor a lot longer to get to the hospital, naturally because of what happened. By the time he got to the hospital, he ran through the doors, and the nurse waved her hand. She said, "That's okay, Doc. Stop. He's gone. You took too long to get here," the nurse said. The boy's father is in there with him now. The doctor went in and walked up to the little boy's bed and put his hand on the father's shoulder. As the father turned around and their eyes met, they both realized what happened. The boy's father got the phone call at the same time saying his son was dying. He had no way to the hospital, and for the first time in his life, he grabbed a gun and hijacked the doctor's car. That man stole the car away from the only man that could help his son. Strange things happen in life. You can love your sons and daughters, mothers and fathers. But Jesus said, if you love them more than you love me, it's like hate. This is Love Jesus morning. What was the motivation finally in her life, Mary, to worshiping and washing his feet with her hair? First of all, she got saved before. That filled her with love toward Jesus. And then Jesus came on her brother Lazarus. Died, and he raised her brother. And she also knew that Jesus would be raised as well. Remember I told you that Mary was always at Jesus' feet? Go to John chapter 20. We close. John chapter 20. This is where he had resurrected from the grave. And it says in verse 11, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth the two angels in white sitting at one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing it to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Why did he say, touch me not? Where do you think Jesus would have been touching Jesus? At his feet. One last scripture, Matthew 28. The book of Matthew, chapter 28. And in verse 1, it says, And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now drop down to verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, Behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Let me ask you, how did they know to go to his feet? Yes, a little woman. A woman that loved Jesus. A woman that was not ashamed of her love to the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't care what anyone else thought. She didn't care anything about herself. She just wanted to show love to Jesus. Love is very costly. Most marriages and things come apart when they're not willing to sacrifice for each other. The emotion of love is gone. Get the real love. Love Jesus. We've got the tale of Valentine coming up this Wednesday. What I read you is not a tale. That is the actual event of a loving woman that loved Jesus more than anyone else. May you learn to love Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless, Lord, the preaching of the word again this morning. May we let our lives change. May we be different people. May we repent of our coldness, our indifference, and show our love one to another, but especially to Jesus. Bless each one that will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn book.